Good Friday. You know, it's interesting how we use certain words and adjectives to describe some events in the life of Jesus that his followers would never use. I mean, the notion that anything that happened on Good Friday was good would be offensive and incredibly hurtful to those who were following Jesus at the time that he was on this earth. A lot of us have lost loved ones. You know, we've lost people who are close to us. And if someone referred to the day of their passing as good, as a good day, we would be hurt by that, be offended by that. But yet, we refer to the events of this Friday as good. And it would not have made sense to anyone following Jesus at the time in which he lived. You've got men who left their careers. They, in a very real way, left their reputations. They left their family communities. They left their futures to follow this man named Jesus, who came out of a completely small, irrelevant kind of place, who didn't have any significant upbringing or family history. Like, they left everything, literally everything, to follow him. And their expectation was that this Jesus was the long-awaited Jewish Messiah, Jewish King, that would free them from Roman oppression, free them from Roman rule, would overthrow the governmental presence of officials and centurions, these soldiers that served at the pleasure of Rome, and reestablish the throne of the great King David, reestablish Israel as a power and a presence in the world. And they came to this commitment because they had seen some of the things that Jesus did. They heard his teaching. They were blown away by what he presented to them. I mean, this was a man in Jesus who was doing things like giving sight to a man that lived his whole life blind. Jesus was restoring the ability to walk with people who could never walk. I mean, Jesus was casting out demons, even walked on water. At one point, he fed over 5,000 people with just a few pieces of bread and a few fish. I mean, the things they saw Jesus do and the things they heard him teach led them to the conclusion that he really is the long-awaited Jewish Messiah, the long-awaited Jewish King. And so not only did they leave everything to follow him, but they had a growing expectation and a growing anticipation that he would establish this kingdom very, very soon. He would overthrow Rome very, very soon. And what you and I know is Palm Sunday, you know, this Sunday leading up to Good Friday, that was a special Sunday for Jesus' closest followers and many others who were in Jerusalem, as Jesus rode into that city with just a triumphant expectation. People were yelling Hosanna. They were filling the streets and cheering. I mean, I can just imagine, like, if I were there or you were there, you know, we would be speculating about how soon it would be that we could be free from Roman taxation and free from the presence of these soldiers and free from these officials, and we could have a nation just like our ancestors had it. We could have a nation and a society as God himself intended for us to have. And so you just get this sense that from Palm Sunday forward, there's just excitement, enthusiasm, expectation, and you see that really in the disciples. I mean, not only leading up to this, are they arguing about who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom? I mean, this is how much they believed it. Like, they're having conversations among themselves about who's going to sit at the right hand of Jesus, who's going to be like his primary agent or ambassador. And I mean, they're arguing with themselves about who's going to be the most prominent in this new kingdom. And then this week, in between Palm Sunday and Good Friday and all this expectation and anticipation, I mean, I can only imagine what they were thinking. And then there's this turn that happens late in the week. As Jesus, under I'm sure what seemed to be like an immense pressure or burden, he withdraws to a garden. And he has now just a few of his closest followers with him, and he asks them to pray. He's immensely burdened, and the disciples were so overcome with their excitement, their anticipation, their expectation of what Jesus would do. They just kind of missed entirely the extra weight and burden that was on Jesus. And they didn't pick up on this extra burden, and they certainly didn't pick up on the fact that this Jesus would be betrayed by one of his other followers. But sure enough, man, just a few hours later, I mean, not very long it seems, this one follower comes and he betrays Jesus to the Roman officials and the Jewish leaders. And so Jesus is arrested that night in the garden. I mean, arrested. I mean, you can imagine these closest associates of Jesus now, like, arrested. No. This man's walked on water. This man has cast out demons. This man has demonstrated that there is no power on earth that can stop him. And so Peter, at the moment of Jesus' arrest, like, he pulls a sword and he's like, all right, you're gonna bring the fight to us? We're ready. It's time to go. I mean, Jesus is thinking, hey, I'm with a guy here who's got unlimited power. Like, all right, y'all wanna bring it on? Bring it on. And Peter swipes a sword at one of those soldiers and literally cuts his ear off. Not because he was trying to slice off his ear. I think Peter was trying to deal a fatal blow. And the guy probably ducks, and Peter ends up taking off his ear. And then here's the moment it all changed. Instead of fighting back, instead of affirming Peter, instead of like demonstrating some incredible power as he had done before, Jesus picks up that man's ear off the ground and he heals him. And then instead of overpowering those soldiers and officials, he agrees to be arrested. And if you're Peter and you're these other close followers, your mind just has to be racing right now. Like, why in the world would Jesus allow himself to be arrested under false charges, by the way? And he's quickly led away, and then in the coming hours, he's led through a sham of a trial, and he's ultimately sentenced to death. For these followers of Jesus, none of that would have seemed good. None of it made any sense. None of it fit their expectation. None of it was in line with what they expected to happen with this king of the Jews, who they thought had come to conquer.